because it says in the beginning of this exactly what I'm trying to say with my meditation. Starting in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I'm going to ask a question. Did you ever feel that your life is littered with half-completed projects? Even though I really value greatly being able to complete what I start, my days really are often finished with uncompleted business. Ask my wife. No, you better not. We don't have enough time left. The china closet, refinishing project that sits unfinished. The still-to-be-patched small hole in the wall in our bedroom. The half-cleaned garage. And think about this, the days at work when you feel you've left nothing really finished. Do I need to go on? Do you know that the granite depiction of the four American presidents at Mount Rushmore State Park sit unfinished? A lot of us know that. Started in 1927 by a Danish-American who died in 1941 and whose son took over the project, it was abandoned in October of 1941 due to lack of funding. Not just abandoned. The original concept was to depict the president all the way to the waist. But what do we see? Just the faces. Even Michelangelo, who is considered one of the greatest artists of all time, would often begin a project only to abandon it in a fit of anger. When he died, he left more unfinished works than the ones that were completed. My guess is that if I asked for a show of hands right now, I wouldn't be alone in here today with this situation. Probably everybody's in the same boat. And you know, when people die at a relatively young age, they usually leave a lot of projects unfinished. Now, put politics aside, whether you agree with them or not, you have to wonder what President Kennedy could have been able to do had he not been assassinated. He was a dynamic individual. In 10 years, Alexander the Great conquered Greece, Persia, Asia Minor, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Babylon, Media, and India. What could he have done if he had not died at the age of 33? Who else died at 33? Jesus. And he ministered for only 3 years. You know, while most of us have incomplete work, unfinished business, half-completed projects, Jesus finished everything he started. He completed every task he was given and accomplished all that he had planned to do. We read it in Scripture. John 4:34 says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 5:36, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. In the night before he was betrayed, he says in intercessory prayer to his Father, this amazing statement that he had left nothing undone as recorded in John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given me to do. Sure, there could have been more people healed, There could have been more miracles, but he came for other reasons also. In this same prayer, Jesus reveals that his mission was to concentrate on a few men who would change the world. People were his method, and the cross was the means to that method. Guess what? It's still the same today. This sixth shout from the Savior, this cry from the cross, follows very quickly after the fifth cry that Father Ed just so beautifully talked about, and just before the final words that Father Scott will share with us. Oops. These three shouts were most likely uttered during the last minute or two of his life. But up until now, the meditations, or at least some of the meditations, were focused primarily on the tragedy of the cross. But as already been said, now we turn to the triumph. We move from the desperate and lamenting cry of, my God, why have you forsaken me, to another lament of, I thirst, to the sixth cry of jubilation, it is finished. There is a man that I read, his name is Arthur Pink, said it this way. From the words of the victim, we turn to the words of the victor. Jesus did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. His death was not an accident. It's not a great injustice. Just the opposite. By his death, justice was fully satisfied so that we, you and I, can be declared righteous. In English, this sixth shout is three words. It is finished. But in Greek, there's only one word, tetelestai. I submit to you that may have been, think about it, that may have been the greatest word spoken in all of history. It could be said that it is the greatest word ever spoken by the greatest man who ever lived. You know what? I can get a picture of this. I can just imagine when he shouted that word, that terrified hell. But there was one heck of a party in heaven. I want to take a closer look at this word and see the impact that it has. In the other gospel accounts, they say specifically that this word was said in a loud voice. It was literally shouted. It wasn't a whimper of an exhausted man. It was the cry of a conqueror, a shout of victory, a word of triumph. It is a verb. Now, this, I'm going to the English teacher here. He can verify this for me. It is a word spoken in the perfect tense. Now, what does that mean? It refers to an action that has been completed in the past with results continuing into the present. Or it literally means it was finished, and as a result, it is done forever. Or you could say it this way. It was finished in the past, it's finished in the present, and it will continue to be finished in the future. We could say it another way. All has been done that needed to be done. Nothing more is needed. People in the first century would understand the word tetelestai because it was used in many ways. A farmer would use it to describe an animal so beautiful that it seemed to have no faults. This was true in the Old Testament. A carpenter, after finishing a perfect piece of furniture, would look at it and say, tetelestai. A servant would return to his master after finishing a job and say, tetelestai. But the most important way this was used back in those days, it was a banking or a merchant term. When a person would pay his debt or fully pay for something he had bought, a receipt would be given marked tetelestai. It was either stamped or written on it. It is finished. There are no defects. The picture's perfect. The job has been done precisely to the specifications. The debt is fully forgiven. Paid in full means that once something is paid for, you never have to pay it again. And it would be even foolish to try to do that. Max Lucado, who I love to read, writes it this way. The history-long plan of redeeming man was finished. The message of God to man was finished. The works done by Jesus as a man on earth was finished. The task of selecting and training ambassadors was finished. The job was finished. The song had been sung. The blood had been poured. The sacrifice had been made. The sting of death had been removed. It was over. You see, the Father was fully satisfied for all mankind forever and ever. And that means you, and it means me. Tetelestai.